relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Strike in Afghanistan. President Biden is facing major challenges and major questions this week. The growing crises engulfing the White House.
Hang on. Where was that from, Mr. G? Was that Fox? Was that Newsmax? Was that The Blaze? That was CNN? That clip? Play that clip again, Eric!
From booster shots to diplomatic disputes, the border, fallout from the botched and deadly drone strike in Afghanistan, President Biden is facing major challenges and major questions this week. The growing crises engulfing the White House.
The growing crises, not crisis, crises engulfing the White House. Mark this day down in your calendar, dear friends. The worm has turned. And yes, they are worms. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation, live streaming on Rumble. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. And I think, are we on Facebook? I don't think we're on Facebook. I think we're in the sin bin because we tell the truth here. That's what we do. CNN. It's not the only mainstream lying legacy media outlet that is now openly criticizing the Biden administration. So what does that mean? Does that mean they're paving the way for Kamala to take over? And the footage from the border means that her running the White House could be even more disastrous than Joe Biden? Let's just look back in time over the last 9 months. What did this administration inherit? Sadly, when Donald Trump left the White House, I was there. I was at Andrews Air Force Base on January the 20th, Inauguration Day, when he flew from the South Lawn in Marine One to the military base, where a handful of us, current staffers, former staffers, and supporters were there to bid him and Melania farewell as they climbed up the steps of Air Force One for the last time, for the time being, and to fly to Florida. And it was a tough day. He gave a little speech, so did Melania. Then they climbed the stairs of Air Force One. Yes, we'd been battling COVID. But before the China virus had hit, we had the largest, strongest economy America and the world had ever seen. We had the lowest unemployment figures since the 1960s, and the lowest unemployment for Black and Hispanic Americans. Why do we even talk about skin color? Why do we do that? That's the left. We're using their language. Anyway, I'll finish my sentence. The lowest unemployment figures for minorities since record-keeping began. Yes, since we actually tallied minority unemployment. The memories of jihadi atrocities felt almost historic. There were no more weekly or daily videos of beheadings, of immolations. The caliphate of ISIS that had spanned multiple countries was gone. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the quote-unquote self-proclaimed caliph of ISIS, was dead. Qasem Soleimani, perhaps even more dangerous than bin Laden, perhaps even more dangerous than Baghdadi, was also dead, removed from the sky by a drone strike that took out Iran's most dangerous general, who was responsible for hundreds of attacks and was about to plan an attack against 600 servicemen in the Middle East. China was contained. Russia was contained. The JCPOA Iran deal, that thanks to Obama had unleashed more than $140 billion to the murderous mullahs in Tehran, was dead, was moribund, because I and Steve Bannon had advised President Trump to kill it. And God bless him, he did. The southern border was secure, not just because of the wall, but thanks to the president very assiduously using the COVID powers granted him as the chief executive to make sure the pandemic didn't grow out of control, used public health mandates to ensure that illegal aliens would not be allowed to run rampant in America. All of these things seem so long ago. Now, the border is open. Thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants are flooding here, not because they're refugees, but because this is America, and they want to come here. It's strange, given that we are told by the left that we are the most racist country in the world, founded on the principle of slavery, and that the white masters are still the white masters. Funny how Haitians! We have no land border with Haiti, I think. I wasn't great at geography, but I don't think we have a land border with Haiti. Are flooding into the country. Mexicans, Nicaraguans, and even Afghans. Let's talk about Afghanistan. A godforsaken piece of real estate that's never functioned as a modern Westphalian nation, ever, even under the monarchy. The nation that was home to bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda training camps. Now, 20 years after September the 11th, is again under the control, not of our friends, not of corrupt politicians that want to play nice with the West, like Karzai, but under the control of people who want to kill you. Yes, the Taliban, quote-unquote, the students, the Taliban, the students of Islam, are fundamentalists. They don't hate ISIS. They're the same breed as ISIS. ISIS may want to be in control, but they're all fundamentalist jihadis, along with Al-Qaeda. And now they have $83 billion worth of equipment and training that you paid for. And how are they selling that across the Muslim world, Arab and non-Arab? We defeated America. We didn't just defeat the ruthless, murderous Soviet Union with its helicopter gunships and landmines shaped like toys to maim children. We defeated the greatest nation on God's earth. That's how they're selling it. And now jihadis are flooding back into this country. China is on the rise again, intimidating our friends and partners in South Asia. North Korea is again launching ballistic missiles over the Sea of Japan. Russia is flexing its muscles with Putin having just won re-election. Well, re-election. It's just reinstalling himself. And Iran. Iran is very happy we've left Afghanistan. And cannot believe their luck that the senile, decrepit old husk of a politician in the White House is seriously thinking of reinstating the Obama-era JCPOA-run deal. All this in the space of less than a year, 9 months, and the fall of Kabul, with 13 Americans murdered. And the response? What's the response? A drone strike that kills an Afghan aid worker and children. America's back. Oh, and I didn't mention the sub deal. First time in American history, the French have recalled their ambassador because this administration snubbed them in their diesel and nuclear sub deal with Australia. What did they tell us? The adults are back? Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. They may be adults, but they don't love this country, and they have no idea what they're doing. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Relief Factor. Pain relief that works. Pain relief that's real. Pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain across the nation, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Deborah from Massachusetts. This is her story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear those words? My hip pain is gone. Those should be words you get to say. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it now. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by American Financing.
After more than a year of lockdowns and mandates that have crippled America's economy, our leaders in Washington still don't get the message. Our small businesses are hurting. What's their response? More mandates, unprecedented spending, and tax increases. There is one organization that's prepared to fight and to win the war that is now imminent against small businesses, and it's the Job Creators Network. As part of their effort to expose the threat to small businesses from left-wing policies like higher taxation and more regulations, JCN is taking their message on the road. In September and October, the Bring Small Business Back Bus Tour may be coming to a town near you. Visit jcnbustour.com to see the tour schedule, and if you live in and around Tampa or Atlanta, get your tickets to two special events with speakers you won't want to miss. Go to jcnbustour.com for more event information and future tour stops. We're asking small business owners and friends of small businesses to join the Job Creators Network. Go to jcnbustour.com. That's jcnbustour.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We showed you earlier that unbelievable footage from our buddy Todd Benzman. Let's play it again. This is from Del Rio. This is the footage of up to 10,000 Haitian illegal immigrants under that bridge. Play that footage again, Eric.
So we are just on the Texas side of the Rio Grande River at about the point where thousands and thousands of Haitians are crossing over into the city of Del Rio. And there are over 10,000 now that are just being allowed to pour over the border. They seem to mostly be Haitians. There's also some Cubans among them, but really a vast majority of them seem to be Haitian, the ones that I've talked to.
We have him with us right now, Todd Benzman. When did you film that unbelievable footage?
Well, I've been inside the encampment several times now. I think it was a few days ago. And then yesterday I was in Mexico filming it from the supply line into the camp from Mexico. It's really quite a remarkable phenomenon that's happened down there.
And you're talking to these people. You've identified where they're coming from, Todd?
Yes. It looks like the vast majority of them are Haitians. There's also some mixed in Africans and Cubans. I met an Angolan the other day.
Hang on. You met an Angolan?
Yes, I did.
How does an Angolan even get to America?
Well, the Angolans, Angola was a Portuguese colony at one point, and they had visa waiver between Angola and Brazil. So he just took advantage of that, flew to Brazil, and then had himself smuggled to the southern border.
And what are you finding in terms of the conditions there and the capacity or what the federal forces are doing about it, if anything?
Right. So they are starting to get better organized, but the people who are still living in the camp, there are probably about 10 or 11,000 now as of today, are responsible for their own food supplies, water supplies, and basic necessities. And for that, they have created a kind of a trade route over the Rio Grande back into Mexico. And they cross the river into Mexico, buy food, and then cross back to the camp. And it's really quite a phenomenon to see that. I was on that yesterday down there at the river while they were crossing back and forth with food. There are porta potties there. Looks like it's sufficient. It is a terrible stench, though, I'll tell you. I was in the camp the night before last for quite a while. People are building shanties out of vegetation, local vegetation. They sleep on the ground. It is not a pleasant place to be. The local people in Del Rio, municipal officials have been worried for days that there would be riots and maybe a breakout or something like that, which is one reason why the Texas Department of Public Safety has moved in all of these troopers and their vehicles and to try to sort of dissuade any trouble. And in the meantime, DHS is bringing in school buses and buses of every shape and size and filling them up and taking people about 3,000 a day and a night out to border patrol stations elsewhere where they are processing them into the country. Most of these people probably will be processed still into the country. Some of them, however, are being flown back to Haiti.
But Tom, I don't see any masks here, and I see no social distance in your footage.
Oh, forget it. Yeah, social distance. Yeah, that's a joke. You know, they're sleeping very closely together. You know, they're crowded together. There is masking, but...
have you spoken to any of them? Do they tell you why they're here, why they decided to come to America from Haiti or from Angola?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done extensive interviews with dozens and dozens of them on the Mexican side. And what I can tell you, first of all, is that none of these people are from Haiti. Your viewers should know that this is not; these are not people who have seen the big earthquake or the assassination of the president of Haiti. These people have been living in Chile for years.
Hang on. This is fascinating. Hang on. The Haitians you filmed in thousands didn't come from Haiti, Todd?
No, they did not. These people all speak Spanish fluently because they have been living in Chile for anywhere from 3 to 6 years.
So why are they here now?
Because the expatriate population of Haitians in Chile and Brazil saw that the Biden administration had opened the border.
Incredible.
And they decided to come they decided to come now to take advantage of.
So this is a reaction to the fact that Joe Biden is now in charge and Kamala Harris as quote-unquote point person for border security is AWOL. Incredible. See the footage. If you're listening to us on radio, it's on my Twitter feed. It's on my Facebook page. Follow this man as well. He is National Security Fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. God bless you, Todd, for bringing us the truth about what's going on. He's the author of America's Covert Border War. Follow him, Benzeman Todd, on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back to your course, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
You know, as many times as we say it out loud, it's pretty unbelievable that Eric Swalwell, a member of the House Intel Committee, had sex with a Chinese spy called Fang Fang. It's remarkable. It's also remarkable that Patrick Donahoe is a major general in the U.S. Army. Now, he's a general, but he doesn't seem as interested in keeping the country safe as he does in promoting a very specific political point of view. So he spends most of his time apparently online harassing political opponents of the Biden administration. Last week, General Donahoe was lecturing a student at Hillsdale College on the merits of mandatory vaccines. "Hey, Hillsdale, come get your boy," wrote General Donahoe. That guy's really a general? That's when another user asked this, quote, "Hey, General, how many wars have you won?" Now, rather than asking that question honestly, and of course the answer is zero, Patrick Donahoe responded this way, quote, "Don't be a shill for Putin." So here you have a major general in the U.S. Army accusing apparently an American citizen of being a, quote, shill for Putin because that person criticized Joe Biden.
That shocking, shocking little segment from Tucker's from a few months ago, but it demonstrates the peril we are in when it comes to national security, that we have politically correct major generals who are commandants of the Infantry Center of Excellence training facility calling students who ask reasonable questions shills for Moscow. Well, it's not just the top, it's also our actual operators. We have breaking news from John Solomon of Just the News that will be very, very impactful to our capacity to actually wage wars, even when the generals don't know what they're doing. John, welcome back to America First. What is the story that you just sent me just literally seconds before you came on air?
It literally just broke. So we have talked to two lawyers and a minister representing several hundred Navy SEALs, the most elite special operators our military trains. In fact, it costs $500,000 just to train a single SEAL. So these are people we put a lot of investment and trust in, and they deliver with extraordinary courage in all the operations we know about. They're being told that if they don't get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, they will no longer be able to deploy with their SEAL teams. Essentially, they will be sidelined and their SEAL careers will be over. This is very important because some of these SEALs have already had COVID, so they believe they have natural immunity, don't need the vaccine. And others of them have a religious objection to it. They do not believe that there's enough data on the safety to inject it into their body yet. They're asking for more time. They're not anti-vaccine because they take lots of vaccines as part of their deployments. They're just concerned about the safety data on this particular vaccine. And the Pentagon's response, according to two lawyers and one of their ministers, is that if you don't get it, you're not going overseas again.
Well, in that case, our capacity to deal with terror threats will be drastically diminished. We don't have an unlimited supply of SEALs, John. So this is a very serious impact upon our capacity to keep Americans safe.
what we're hearing. Remember, there are only 2,500 SEALs total, according to the public documents we know. These guys get deployed multiple times. Remember Team 6, the brave team that captured and killed Osama bin Laden? That's the type of people we're talking about. The frontline warriors, the very best we have. Anywhere from 300 to 600 is the estimate of SEALs, I'm told, aren't willing to get the vaccine yet or are objecting to the vaccine, either on religious grounds or safety grounds or other reasons. You're talking about maybe as many as a quarter of our SEALs. And one of the lawyers said, listen, these aren't the management of the SEALs. These are the frontline shooters, the top people we have that are raising these concerns. This could be a military readiness crisis very quickly.
Yeah, and just to be clear, any special force, any military force in general, but especially the door kickers, the operators, if you take out the management layer, what you have at any one time is split into three parts. One third of the actual troopers have to be deployed on missions. One third is resting and recuperating, while the other third are preparing to deploy. So when you take it down to 700 in one rotation, and maybe half of those, for various reasons, won't be able to deploy, you've actually halved the number of people who can be deployed to take out the next Taliban protected Al-Qaeda camp that has been flourishing because of the decision last month. Shocking news. Very grateful to you. That's why Just the News exists. Please subscribe. Just bookmark justthenews.com today. Follow John at J Solomon Reports. Every single day, I get a lineup of the most important stories at the top this morning. Unbelievable. I mean, you just, when you think it cannot get more incestuous, we have this story. That the judge, talk to us about Lisa Page and this federal judge, John.
So the federal judge that's overseeing the Sussman case, that is the lawyer Michael Sussman, who last week was indicted by John Durham. Well, that judge is married to a woman who's a lawyer for Lisa Page, the FBI former counsel who resigned after her text messages, her anti-Trump text messages came out and raised concerns about bias inside the FBI. So it is a small town. This town is full of conflicts, right? And this is a great example. So we thought we'd just point it out, just connect the dots for people, let people make their decisions. But the judge who will preside over the Sussman case has a connection to the one of the most famous people that became public in the FBI Russia collusion story.
Okay, so let's imagine that our 3 million listeners have just landed from Beetlejuice and they have no idea who these names are. Let's just paint the picture here. The only person to be indicted from the investigation of the Russia hoax by John Durham, this lawyer who is central to the propagation of the lie that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Moscow, that individual who was indicted just hours before the statute of limitations expired last weekend, the judge who is involved in that indictment is married to the lawyer of the woman who was having an affair with the chief FBI proponent of the investigation against the Trump administration. I'm no lawyer, John, but isn't that prima facie evidence for instant recusal?
It should be. I mean, the experts are split on this today. They've been giving advice all over the place. But listen, a common sense person, right? A common sense person just looking, hey, we want this to be a fair trial. We want to have confidence in the outcome. Do we really want a judge who's married to a person who's representing someone who spewed anti-Trump sentiments while pursuing Donald Trump using the criminal powers of the FBI? I think a lot of people have to ask that question. I think most common sense Americans will say, no, we don't want that. Fix this, clean this, get another judge.
Your expectation is somebody who's been a swamp watcher for many decades now, will this judge stay in control of this case? What do you think, John?
You know, I've been working on judicial conflicts for 30 years. I remember I found a judge who actually owned stock in a case he was presiding over, didn't disclose it, and he didn't recuse. It had to go all the way to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court before he was forcibly recused. That was 30 years ago. I think judges are loath to jettison themselves from a case after they're assigned. This may have to go up the disciplinary branch and see if someone higher weighs in, but we'll see. I mean, the judge has the first shot. But in the past, judicial ethics and conflicts have often been something that, unless a lot of attention are shined on them, they don't actually result in any recusals.
Yeah, and to say that this is an incestuous town is really understating it. We're going to keep talking with John after the break. In the meantime, go to Twitter, follow him right now. Jay Solomon reports. He is the founder of one of the few media institutions with integrity in this nation. It's justthenews.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Well, look, I think he's got a pretty big credibility crisis on his hands, because all of these problems in some ways showed up after he said something basically the exact opposite. Afghanistan withdrawal wasn't going to be messy. This wasn't going to look like Saigon. The booster shots, he came out and he essentially said 8 months, and even indicated maybe we should start it as soon as 5 months. Now we're not sure if anybody under 65 is going to get a booster shot. So, you know, he's had, and of course the border has been, you know, whether this, we can talk about the border problems. You could say there's years in the making, but it's pretty clear we have a bigger problem now than we've had in years. And this is these policies have turned into becoming a magnet. So he's got a lot of work to do.
Incredible. Chuck Todd, who is a reliable cheerleader for the Democrats and for the Biden administration, just rattling off a number of crises and laying them at the feet of the current incumbent. Let's ask somebody who believes in unbiased reporting, the creator of justthenews.com. John Solomon, we played a cut in the first hour from CNN, yeah, talking about multiple crises. Then you have Chuck Todd, you have Stephanie Ruhle and others. Is something happening in the mainstream media, John?
You know, I wrote a story the other day that said that buyer's remorse is starting to set in, even among people who embraced Joe Biden early. The media is clearly one of them, and Chuck Todd was a great apologist for Joe Biden all last year and into the beginning of this administration, as was CNN and MSNBC. We also see an enormous amount of buyer's remorse from our foreign allies, France, Great Britain, grave concerns about the way Joe Biden conducts things. And I know he just said in the clip there that it's a issue of credibility. I think the American voter sees something different. It isn't just credibility, it's competence.
Yeah.
We don't blow up people who are innocent with a predator drone and call it a righteous strike. We don't open the border and bring COVID into our country. That's just a competence question. I think the bigger issue that Joe Biden's presidency is going to grapple with long term is he a competent president? Did we vote for someone who sounded good but can't deliver? And I think that competency issue is becoming much, much more poignant for the American electorate.
Yeah, that's why you're a regular guest. It's not about credibility. It's about competence. You don't have the credibility if you don't have the competence. John, staying on media coverage, look, sure, it's a tragic story. If she was murdered, the murderer needs to be arrested, charged, and you know, tried. But the Gabby Petito story, How much more are we going to see coverage of this in comparison to, you know, the 7 people, the 12 people, the 10 people murdered every weekend in Chicago? Or the, you know, is there some problem with the mainstream coverage? Is it because she's white and she's blonde, or because it's salacious? Why don't we have coverage for days and days and days about one shooting in Baltimore?
Yeah. No, well, listen, that's a really fair question. It's a question that most Americans ask at the dinner table in the living room. She's gotten way more coverage than the crisis of the Haitians that are in that area underneath the bridge. That is squalor that American government has allowed to create. Those people are in danger just because of the health conditions we brought there, never mind the fact that the policy brought them here with a false promise they were getting into the country. There are so many other issues that the media ought to be covering that have larger magnanimous consequences for the country. Listen, what happened to that woman is terrible. It's a tragedy. It sounds like a horrific murder. We hope that someone is brought to justice quickly. But does it take up as much time in our public consciousness as some of these other issues? I think that's a good debate for a lot of consumers today. It's part of the reason why I think so many people have turned off the nightly news, so much of people have turned off the mainstream media. They see efforts at weapons of mass distraction. Let's cover this over here so we don't have to tell you all the crises going on in Washington. I fear that's how a lot of viewers see this story, albeit a tragic one. We wish her family well. We don't, you know, want anyone to go through the suffering that I'm sure that mom and dad have gone through the last few days.
Well, that's why they're tuning into Just the News. Check out John's podcast as well. Follow him in Jay Solomon Reports. 60 seconds left. You mentioned an upcoming political issue that could be a real test. What are you thinking about in terms of here at Capitol Hill? The debt ceiling.
We're about to hit that debt ceiling, and this will be a moment of conscience for conservatives. Will they hold the line and finally stop all this spending, or will they bend like they always have in the past? A very big moment where the conservative movement can make a statement about where they stand on government spending.
Yeah, it is the test of true conservatives. If we stop spending the money of our grandchildren and our grandchildren, that's the test, or whether both parties continue to behave like drunken sailors on payday. Thank you, John. Amazing story. We've already just posted it with regards to the seals and the COVID. That's why we love justthenews.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am truly honored that Carr Firearms has come to us to create the first ever America First Auto Ordinance 1911 pistol. Carr Firearms shares my passion that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental human right we should all fight for. Carr shares my unmistakable, unshakable belief that America should always come first in the hearts of true patriots. If you're a fan of this program, if you believe in America First, I want you to own your own copy of this very special custom weapon. In collaboration with Carr Firearms, 300 limited edition copies of my America First 1911 are being produced. Each is artfully engraved with themes expressing our passion for the right to keep and bear arms and our love for America. The Second Amendment is a civil right, is inscribed on the left side, and America First on the right side. The grip images include the President of the United States, who I served, and my own likeness and the American flag. The finish is Cerakote burnt bronze with armor black controls. Each pistol has a 5-inch barrel, is chambered in the all-American caliber 45 ACP, and comes with 1 7-round magazine. Of course, it is made entirely in the United States, and the beautiful design the Carr team have come up with, yes, that's you, Jody, is absolutely stunning. I'm honored to be part of this collector's piece edition. Pre-order yours today. There's only 300 available. Go to galleryofguns.com. That's galleryofguns.com. Don't wait. They will disappear very, very fast. That's galleryofguns.com. We are delighted to be joined by none other than Congressman Jim Jordan. So much to discuss. I asked you in the break, Congressman Jordan, I'm going to ask you on air in front of our millions of listeners and viewers, why has Nancy Pelosi been so quiet of late, Congressman?
Well, what good is there going to be with this mess? What good does he have to talk about? I mean, the border's a mess. We got 40-year high inflation. We had the debacle that was the withdrawal from Afghanistan. You got crime rising in every city. They're trying to give people amnesty. I mean, you can't pick an issue. We went from energy independence under President Trump to, think about this, to the President of the United States actually begging OPEC to increase production. So What can she talk about? And now she's faced with this, you know, fund the government by September 30th, the reconciliation package, the 3.5 package, the 1.2 so-called infrastructure package, and on and on, and the debt ceiling issue, all those things coming due here in the next couple weeks. So she didn't have a whole lot of good to talk about because they've messed up every single policy area, every single thing they've tried to do, they've made worse.
Now, we've played the cuts in the last 2 hours here on America First, CNN, MSNBC in the last couple of days, calling out this administration, instead of being the cheerleaders, talking about the multiple crises that Biden has created. Does this mean the honeymoon's over? Does it mean they're prepping the field for Kamala? Well, how significant is this, Congressman?
Well, no, they're still the mainstream press. I think it's just reality that, you know, they have to say something negative because, like I said, there isn't anything good happening with this administration and the Schumer Senate and the Pelosi House. So I think they have to give a little bit of reality to the American people. Now, it's not going to be much. They're still trying to cover for these folks and cover for the left and support all the crazy policies. But they have to be a little bit honest. So I think that's all it is in the end. Look, we know what has to happen. We got to elect Republicans in the midterm elections in 13 and a half months. And then we got to have President Trump back in the White House on January 20th, 2025. I mean, that's how it has to go if we're going to get things back on track where they were just 8, 9, 10 months ago under President Trump. We need to get them back to that area.
Here, absolutely. Representing Ohio's beautiful 4th Congressional District. Follow him, Jim_Jordan on Twitter. He has under his bio hashtag Do What We Said. When it comes to policies that are ruinous for this nation, the footage of 15,000 illegal aliens under that bridge in Del Rio, is there any imagery, Congressman, that will stop them and help us to close the border?
Well, yeah, implement the policies that work. Tell the world you're actually going to build the wall like President Trump did. Tell the world you're going to put back in place the Mexico, Remain in Mexico policy. Tell the world you're actually going to support Section 42 and not under the COVID concerns. You're going to implement that and enforce that instead of having less of that enforced every single month. So do the things that work instead of what did they do today? I mean, think about this. What did they do today? They announced that if you're a foreign national coming here legally, you got to have a COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
But, if you're on the border, come on in, all 13,000. Come on in. No checking for whether you got COVID or not when you come into our country, unless you're actually coming in here legally. And what did they try to do in this big $3.5 trillion package? They're trying to give amnesty to 8 million illegals, 8 million people who came here illegally. So they don't get it. The American people do, though, and that's why you see Biden's numbers as low as they are and why I think we're going to win back the House and hopefully the Senate in next year's election.
Well, it's up to us. He's the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. Jim.House, Jordan.House.gov is the webpage. Congressman, I don't think we've spoken since the 20th anniversary of September 11th. Your reaction that the current incumbent, the man who sadly bears the title President and Commander-in-Chief, didn't give a speech anywhere on the anniversary?
Yeah. Well, again, what a day for our country. You know, what a tragic day, but also a day when after that our nation came together. And I thought, you know, on September 11th, the 20th anniversary, I thought, what a contrast between President Biden and former President Trump.
Yeah.
President Trump showed up unannounced to thank the people who are on the front lines every single day, to thank the police officers, the firefighters, the first responders. And he was given an unbelievable reception and welcome by those individuals because they know what you and I know, that he truly cares about them. And unlike the Democrats who continue to talk about defunding the police, he actually knows we should fund our military, take care of our veterans, and make sure our police have the resources they need to do their job. So I thought that was quite a contrast on that, on this day that our whole country, knows so well.
30 seconds left. Are you satisfied by what the establishment GOP is doing to prevent voter fraud in the next election in the midterms?
Well, the states are pushing back, and that's a good thing. And the other thing I think is going to help us is everyone's on notice. We're all going to be watching so closely in the next election. That is going to help us. We're going to have lawyers and poll watchers and poll workers there. That's going to help us. And then things like have happened in Georgia and Texas and Florida, where they're actually making sure their election laws are as tight and as good and guarantee the integrity of the election. That's what we need to do. That's how our federal system works, and that's a great thing.
Yeah. It's up to us, guys. Volunteer. Become one of those poll workers, one of those volunteers, so we can guarantee our republic and prevent voter fraud. Follow this man at Jim_Jordan, one of the true patriots on Capitol Hill. Thank you, Congressman. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.